Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid, sponsored by Caper.io. Today we have Rebecca. Rebecca is the founder at Tang App. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Mustafa.
So Rebecca, a brief background about yourself prior to starting Tang.
Yeah, so I am Filipino and Dutch and American. I'm very fortunate. I grew up mostly in the Netherlands, but my mother's from the Philippines, so went home there a lot. I have a background studying International Business Administration, both for my bachelor's and actually two master's, but have also worked in nonprofit at the United Nations, and then went into strategy consulting in the Netherlands for a couple of years. And after that, decided to go more towards public service and social impact. And I went to the Harvard Kennedy School to get my master's in public administration. And it was during that time that I also founded Tang App, which is an international peer-to-peer mobile payment app focusing on the Philippines first.
Got it. Congratulations on that. And how's the journey been so far?
Really fun. I can't complain. It's definitely by far, being a founder by far has been the toughest job I've ever had, but also the best one. I think getting to work on a problem that I care a lot about and a social mission of financial inclusion and helping to improve the lives of Filipinos is really gratifying and gives me a lot of purpose. But I get to do what I love, which is a massive privilege and luxury. So I like it. There are definitely ups and downs. I had to readjust a bit to getting comfortable with rejection. Startup life is full of rejection, and you actually have to learn and know that, you know, another no is just you learning valuable lessons. Another failure is just you moving forward, is actually making progress. So when things go too smoothly, you're actually not learning. So that was a bit of rewiring that I had to get comfortable with. But yeah, so far can't complain, Mustafa.
Yeah. So, you know, early days of a startup, the product market fit, right? Do you want the finding the early customers, you know, making sure that everything runs smoothly? Do you want to share some stories with us?
Yeah, so I think what really helped us understand on how to best serve your customer is constantly talking to them. So when the pandemic started, so we started Tang App about 2 years ago, and when the pandemic started, we went back to speak to our target customer, and we asked them, migrant workers in the US from the Philippines, what do you need and how can we help? And unfortunately, quite a few had actually lost their jobs, but are incredibly resourceful and talented and were able to sort of find ad hoc jobs. But what they weren't doing was sending home the normal $200 or $400 they would do every month for their relatives. But what they asked for help with was prepaid phone credit top up, which is actually in the Philippines, the majority of the country uses that. So they don't have a monthly mobile phone subscription. They go to sort of a 7-Eleven or a drugstore where they can buy a temporary phone credit, which is sort of, it gives them data, it gives them calling minutes. And the best metaphor to explain that is it's kind of like a water cooler system. So your smartphone is a cup, and you kind of go into a store and you can like refill that cup with, you know, which is for them data or calling minutes or texting minutes. So they had told us, the migrant workers, that they'd lost connection with some of their relatives for a few weeks since the pandemic started. And it was because of the lockdowns in the Philippines. A lot of people were no longer able to go to the store that was now outside of their village border. Due to the lockdown, they couldn't go there to buy phone credit. And the telcos also had challenges distributing all the phone credit. So we pivoted very quickly based on this feedback. We were hearing this over and over, and we launched phone credit top up at the end of last year, and then had very exciting, successful organic growth, which was something in a country where the majority is prepaid phone credit. I didn't think that that was still a pain point not really being met, but there weren't fantastic digital options yet that were really easy for people to sign up and to use. So I'd say on product market fit, we aren't fully there yet, and it's a continual journey. And so experimentation is key. We did have organic growth, which is good and promising, but as we launch new products, you go back into that cycle every time. So we're launching remittances later this year, and it will be very exciting to see how that works, but it's constantly asking your users for feedback. I actually like to in the evenings go on our Facebook account and talk to our users. And one time I accidentally wasn't logged into the company account, and I was logged in on my own, and I didn't realize it. And someone had asked me a question, a customer, and I replied and answered, and I knew what the issue was, and then also asked them for feedback, and they said, thank you, ma'am, because they'd apparently looked me up. And they said, thank you, ma'am, but are you really the CEO? Which made me realize I'm on the wrong account, but it was also quite laughable because for me, that doesn't matter. Yes, I am the CEO, but I actually care more about what they're interested in and their feedback is. So yeah, that was a bit of a silly funny moment, but I think having that constant conversation with your users is really important to make sure that you're not shoving a solution down onto their smartphones, whether they want it or not, but that you're really solving a problem.
Yeah, interesting. So, you know, I'm trying to keep the conversation relevant towards today's time, last 15 months, crazy months, right? So how has that been, you know, managing the company over Zoom and everything, from customers to maybe early investor talks, or, you know, managing the team?
Yeah, so I haven't met, I've actually only met one of our advisors in person. I believe one of our 17 angel investors I've met in person. I haven't met not a single one of my team members in person. So yeah, as you absolutely note, right, 15 months of craziness. And the team, we started tying up 2 years ago. So we were virtual at the time, and then we obviously decided to stay virtual and global. And I think it's come with a lot of benefits. It's very efficient. It's very easy. I raised our pre-seed round. We raised up to 1.5 million to date. And I raised that all virtually and online, which is remarkable and great. And I often think about the time I would have spent if I'd have to run around cities meeting all these investors in person. And now when you want a follow-up meeting, you can even have it the same day, another 30-minute call. And so there's a lot of efficiency and productivity that comes to it. I'd say, obviously, in building a venture, the challenges come with how do you build a strong company culture that people feel a part of and loyal when you don't have this environment of coming into an office every day and you can share the highs and lows of building this venture together, and you're sort of in your own silos, you're at home alone. And I think particularly with some of the younger team members, it's something I try to focus a lot on, to make sure that they have opportunities to develop and grow. Because when I, for instance, worked in consulting, like that in-person, going to an office or a client every day, it matters a lot, especially when you're younger and it's one of your first jobs. And with us, we have a Zoom call and it's very functional and specific. We're going to go over this feedback. So you don't have sort of walking by a team member's desk and saying, hey, you know, I think I'm going to actually pull you into this meeting if you have time, if you're interested, and that you sort of, you know, get to see a lot more things that help you grow and learn. So it's something where we're focusing on a team a lot as that we're all a part of building this company culture, and we will be virtual and global and remote for the time being, probably definitely for the rest of this year. And so, yeah, having value setting workshops where we all talk about what are the things we care about and what is the company that we want to build together, and making sure that everyone feels a part of building that together, but also giving people ownership in, we are an early stage financial technology startup. You can play a very big part in setting the direction. And so I've come to learn that having those conversations as a group, but also making sure I check in one-on-one on team members to really try and keep this human connection and understand what's going on in people's personal lives, because you don't have the morning at the coffee chat or the water cooler chat, you know, where you pick up on that.
last question, you know, for the podcast, then we'll have a chat offline because, you know, my marketing team forced me to keep them within 14 minutes.
No problem.
So your own personal productivity hacks, you know, what changes you've brought into your own life that has helped you with being more efficient and productive?
Yeah, so I think it's a great question because it isn't asked a lot, actually. And I think we all just assume the benefits only of working virtual and via Zoom. It definitely also takes a toll. Video calls, as we all know, Zoom fatigue is a real thing. And so personally, I've actually implemented at least one call free day a week. So that means I try not to schedule any meetings, not even with the team internally, on one day a week. And it allows me to sort of map out and plan that day how I need to do my work when I want and to be able to track on without feeling like, oh, I have this other call coming up or yeah, just allowing that part of my brain at least to recharge without video calls. Another thing that we've also done what I've noticed is, at least me personally, it's very easy when you're working on Slack or email, if you're taking a day off, you don't really take a day off because you're at home. Most people aren't really taking big vacations or holidays right now. And so when you see a message come by, it's not very difficult to just quickly reply. But what it means is you're really not shutting off and recharging. And it's really important to, you know, stay fit and healthy and happy and resilient, especially in an early stage startup. So we've also implemented company-wide holidays, which we call Tango Days, where it's completely fine if you do want to work, but you are absolutely forbidden from messaging your team members. So that way, when you're not at least getting, you know, emails and messages, it's a little bit easier to disconnect knowing that everybody's offline. And there is apparently something psychologically positive that works in that way. So I'd say, a few small measures to make sure that I do stay fit in my brain. And that call-free day actually also allows me to plan in sport or a personal activity since, yeah, I can make the work to my schedule.
Sure. Rebecca, thank you so much for being on the show. You know, take care of yourself, stay safe, and all the best with Tank.
Thank you so much, Mustafa.
And we're